I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's October 17th, and we have a lot to talk about. Last week, more than 9,000 MS research scientists and clinicians traveled to Milan from more than 110 countries to attend the largest MS research conference in the world, the 2023 Joint ECTRIMS-ACTRIMS Annual Meeting. In the next few episodes of Real Talk MS, we'll be talking about many of the presentations and announcements that were made, and you'll be hearing from several of the key presenters. Earlier in the final day of the Joint ECTRIMS-ACTRIMS meeting, I had an opportunity to connect with Bonnie Higgins, who was in Milan for the ECTRIMS MS Patient Community Day. Bonnie was diagnosed with MS in 1994. She's a member of the National MS Society's Board of Directors and an untiring volunteer in the MS movement. In a moment, we'll hear Bonnie's perspective on this remarkable conference. I'm at ECTRIMS 2023 in Milan, and I'm speaking with Bonnie Higgins. Bonnie was diagnosed with MS in 1994. She's a member of the National MS Society's Volunteer Hall of Fame, as well as the MS Society's Board of Directors. And Bonnie is here at ECTRIMS to participate in the Patient Community Day. Thanks for joining me, Bonnie.
Thank you, John. I'm thrilled to be with you here today.
First, tell me, what are your impressions of ECTRIMS?
One word, wow. So many people, so many multidisciplinary individuals, and just great talent in the room.
You're here specifically to participate in the Patient Community Day, which takes place tomorrow, Saturday, October 14th. Why do you think it's important to include a day at ECTRIMS that's focused on the MS patient community?
John, such an important question. Having the patient perspective in the research process is so key. And being able to contribute with the researchers has been an incredible opportunity for myself as well as for others. We get to look at the research applications coming through and look at them through the eyes of a lived individual. Whether it's somebody that's living with MS or somebody that has a loved one with MS, and look at the research and say, would this work for us? Is there barriers for us? So we're not looking at it through the scientific eye. We're looking at it through somebody living with MS. And so it's great because the researchers now are looking for that feedback. So you don't want the research to go so far along and then all of a sudden realize it's going to hit a barrier, because they may not have individuals that can participate in trials because of the barriers. So having the patient voice right there at the beginning is just absolutely key. And I'm just thrilled that I've been able to be a part of it, that the society has started this initiative. They started it in 2020, and it's just growing and growing. We have it with our scientific advisory committee, and you've been involved in it yourself. And I think this is just key, and we're seeing it worldwide happening.
You're going to be speaking about something we often talk about on the podcast, Pathways to Cures Global Research Initiative. Can you share your thoughts on Pathways to Cures?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something I'm very passionate about. And we talk about in 2019, we looked at the MS Society's mission of ending MS forever. And it was a great mission, but it really didn't hit home with people that were living with MS. They demanded more. They demanded that cure be in our mission. So it was, I remember sitting in the meeting when we were tackling that and said, well, cure is difficult. We're making a promise. And how do we do that? And we said, well, people are demanding it. We need to do it. And so we sat back and said, cure can mean different things, and that's okay. Cure can mean that it stops MS in its tracks. It can mean that it restores MS. It can mean it ends MS, so your grandchildren never hear you have MS. And so that's where the pathways came from. So the fact that, again, patient voices demanded that cure be in our mission That is key. So yes, we will cure MS. We will cure MS together.
Well, as you point out, Pathways to Cures initiative puts the word cure right out there, which in itself is different from some of the language we've used in the past. In fact, I've heard the word cure used more often this week at ECTRIMS than I've ever heard it at previous research conferences. So as someone who's living with MS, that just has to feel like we're standing on the precipice of greater discovery, and that's going to lead to that next generation of MS care.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. You look at I've had MS for 29 years. And when I was diagnosed, I believe there was 3 disease modifying therapies. I believe today we're at 23. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So great progress, but we need to keep going. We need to get to that cures. So it is amazing. And I'll steal one of your quotes. I think your quote is that research is the engine of the future. And I truly believe that's a great quote. And I feel fortunate that myself living with MS, people like yourselves that have a loved one that lived with MS, I think it's great that we can be part of that engine to make that cure happen.
You're here at the largest MS research conference in the world, but almost 3 million people who are living with MS around the world aren't here with us. What do you want them to know?
I want them to know that there are people here working for them, and that there are things that they can do. That's the most important thing. People need to know that they can plug in, that there are opportunities for everybody to plug in to do something about MS, to be part of the pathways to the cures. There are things that you can do to be involved in this journey, to be involved in the MS society, whether it's within your local chapters, being on community councils where you get involved in research, when you get involved in talking to people about what Pathways to the Cures is. If you don't understand how the research process is, you don't understand why it's so important that we raise funds, which is critical. And it's a long journey to get to the research process. And so, plugging in is so important. And I think getting involved, getting connected, and going out to your local chapters and connecting is critical. One of my favorite benefits of being involved in the Community for Research Review Committee, which was all people that were affected by MS, was that we became a family, because we all had something in common. We had different journeys. I had relapsing, remitting. There were people there with progressive. There were people there that had loved ones with progressive or relapsing, remitting. But we bonded immediately, and we opened each other's eyes to what each other's struggles were, which was great. I became a better person because I understood better what somebody with progressive MS dealt with and what some of their barriers were. So I could speak to other people better about that. And so I think those are opportunities that are always out there. And in today's world, you can do it virtually, which is terrific. So you can be sitting at home and you can be involved in virtual gatherings, which is a great opportunity too.
Absolutely is. Well, Bonnie Higgins, thank you for your untiring volunteer efforts to bring us closer to a day when we're looking at MS in the rearview mirror. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure.
In keeping with the Real Talk MS tradition, just as the meeting was ending and the thousands of attendees were heading for the exits, I connected with the National MS Society's Chief Advocacy Services and Science Officer, Dr. Tim Cutsey, to discuss some of the research that captured his attention during the conference. If you're a regular listener, you know that my favorite part of ECTRIMS is sitting down with Bruce Bebo, the National MS Society's Executive Vice President of Research, in the final hour of the final day of the conference, and asking him to share the specific announcements or presentations that caught his eye. Unfortunately, Bruce was unable to attend ECTRIMS this year, But the National MS Society's Chief Advocacy Services and Science Officer, Dr. Tim Kutze, has been kind enough to step up and join me to recap the largest MS research conference in the world. Tim, thanks for joining me. It's great to see you.
Hey, John, it's great to be with you here in MS Milan 2023. And really, it has been an amazing experience. And the last day could not have been more exciting. You know, just for context for your audience, you know, they shared with us that there were 8,639 people. There's a precise number from 110 countries, all engaged in exciting scientific exchange. It's really just the energy in the room was amazing. You know, and I think, you know, the beginning of the meeting started with Dr. Steve Hauser with a talk entitled Multiple Sclerosis, Path to a Cure. I've come to many ECTRIMS Congress and I've never seen a presentation where the opening title was A Path to a Cure. This just tells me how much progress we've made and the reality that we are really getting on the cusp of finding a cure. And he shared his vision for how early can we diagnose MS and what we can do to start intervening to stop the disease in its tracks. And then just a couple of highlights of what, you know, really excited me. One was, you know, an important conversation that we've been having about Epstein-Barr virus. You know, there's a lot of interest in what does Epstein-Barr virus mean for MS? How is it a trigger for MS? And, you know, there's a lot of questions about this. And one of the most interesting studies I heard was from a group in Germany where they took a look at samples that had been collected, blood samples that have been collected from people who are affected by MS, who have signs in their bloodstream that they have been exposed to Epstein-Barr virus, and a group of people who don't have MS, but who also have signs in their bloodstream that they have been exposed to EBV. And the question they were asking is, these people, some have MS, some don't. What is the difference? What causes that? And what they were able to find is that when you look in the bloodstream of people who don't have MS, they had a profile of the immune cells that showed that they had more of the immune cells that are able to fight off the potentially negative effects of EBV virus compared to the people who were living with MS. And they also found when they looked more closely at people affected by MS that some of their immune cells seemed to be off in terms of their ability to respond to these immune cells that normally would have protected them. So it points the clue that there are some underlying mechanisms that might be contributing to why some people develop MS after EBV and why some people don't. Very early research, but really exciting and giving us those clues. Another important observation was, you know, this idea of can a person's genetic profile tell them something about what's happening with their disease? We've known for a number of years now that we have close to 200 genetic identifiers that are risk factors for MS, but we've not ever really had the insight as to, well, what does that mean? And how does having a particular genetic profile affect a person's disease course? And in this meeting, we had the first announcement about how one of those risk factors that was recently shown to be tied to increased severity of the disease really can be mapped to that having that genetic predictor shows that there's more brain atrophy or loss of brain volume in a person living with MS. So now we have the first connection of a genetic profile to something that's happening in a person's brain that the doctor and the radiologist can see. And the next step from this will be to identify what are the predictors and can this help us with clinical trials? Can this help us, you know, in perhaps understanding what would cause some people to have more, lose more brain volume than others? Early stages to all of this, but really we're starting to make those steps towards what we call precision medicine that we're seeing in other diseases. And then the last, I'd say exciting news was, there's been a lot of interest in a new group of drugs called the BTK inhibitors. These are drugs that target B cells, a bit like some of the other drugs like ocrelizumab and Kesimpta. And, you know, there's been a lot of excitement about these because these are oral pills. So first of all, people could take them as a pill either once or twice a day. But there's also been this concept that these drugs might also get into the nervous system and allow treatment of the immune cells that are already in a person's brain and spinal fluid that wouldn't be reached by some of the existing B cell therapies. But the question has always been, people have speculated that, but can you actually see that this drug gets into the nervous system? And there was a presentation that showed that one of the drugs that's under development, fenebrutinib, actually is present in the spinal fluid of people who are being treated at a level that they would need to basically target the B cells that are acting up in those individuals. And so this was a really important sign, because what it does is it takes us to the step that when a person takes a treatment, it'll address the immune cells that are in a person's bloodstream, but also the immune cells that are already in the brain, which none of the existing treatments are able to take care of. And so it'll extend the ability to get the treatment to really achieve our goal of stopping progression in each individual. So really just incredibly excited by what happened. I'm jazzed, as you can tell, and I can't wait for next year's ECTRIMS to really come back and say all of the amazing progress.
Well, thanks for that word's eye view of this incredible Congress. I mean, it has been remarkable. Like you, I'm really excited about returning to ECTRIMS next year and seeing what is next. Tim Kutze, thanks for everything you do to improve the lives of people affected by MS. Once again, thanks for talking with me, and safe travels home.
Thank you, John. Great to be with your audience, and look forward to seeing you soon.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/320. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.